This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Lisa Mullins. When Ryan Speedo Green was a boy in southeastern Virginia, he and his brother used to cower in their room when their parents fought viciously. When he was in second grade, he was put in a special class for violent children. When he was 12 and his father was long gone, Green threatened his mother and brother with a knife. His mother had him put in juvenile detention, and there he was often in solitary confinement. Fast forward to tomorrow night. 33-year-old Ryan Speedo Green will be on stage singing bass baritone at the Tanglewood Music Festival, just as he was 2 years ago. We spoke with Ryan Speedo Green yesterday, and he told us that Belshazzar's Feast was one of the most challenging musical pieces he's had to do. Green can handle the pressure, though. He's had a lot of practice. His life story as an African-American man is laid bare in the book Sing for Your Life. He says the blistering anger of his past is now a tool for the present.
Well, you know, for me, my past is only a way for me to look back and see how much I've accomplished. And part of failing so early in life helped me pursue this career in the future, because opera is a field of opinions. And one person can think you have the voice of an angel, and the other person can think you have the voice of a witch. And if you don't have a thick skin, if you don't have a strong enough belief in yourself and your abilities, it's very easy to fail and to fall.
So where is that life history and that sentiment of both the anger and the wanting to do better? I mean, the whole package. Where is it when you are on stage before thousands of people at Tanglewood or the Met or the State Opera in Vienna?
You know, I pull from a lot of my past experiences when I get on stage, especially now as a father. I even have more to pull from. And, you know, I know so many characters in opera have a dream. You know, they want to achieve something that is otherworldly or outside of their reach. And they do whatever it takes to get there. And I understand that feeling and that motivation.
What's a good example of that?
In the opera La Bohème by Puccini, I've portrayed the character Colline. And he has this really amazing aria at the end of the opera where he sings about selling his coat, which is his favorite possession, selling it so he can earn a little bit of money to buy medicine for a friend that is dying. And for him, selling this coat gives him an opportunity to make this friendship last a little bit longer, you know, keep this dream a little bit longer alive. And for me, you know, I lost my father, I think like 4 years before I sang this role at the Met. And when I sang the aria on stage, you know, I thought, you know, if I could have sold my most prized possession, I would have given anything to spend a little more time with him, just to tell him I love him one more time, or to tell him, you know, I'm just thankful that I got to know him. And I pull from that when I'm on stage singing to this coat.
There's a theme that keeps coming up in the book about you and in your life, and that has to do with a song that will be familiar to so many people, Old Man River, from the musical Showboat. So you, as a star, have to go to high society parties. You're expected to not just rub elbows with big donors, you are expected to sing. And you're, I think it's 6'5", correct?
I'm 6'4", yeah, 6'4", 6'5", depending on what heels I'm wearing.
300 pounds, rough, yeah. give or take, depending on the weight of the shoes and the heels.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter that you have perfected a Verdi aria, you are often asked to sing Old Man River. I think for many people, they're going to think that is such a beautiful song, and they think of Paul Robeson and picture you singing it, but you bristle at the idea, and sometimes more than bristle. Could you explain why?
Well, you know, people mention a lot of times Paul Robeson and like saying that, oh, I could see you, you sound just like Paul Robeson or William Warfield. And I would love to talk to them about, do you know much about Paul Robeson's story? Do you know that Paul Robeson left the United States? Do you know that he was never allowed to sing opera in the United States and that he actually was able to pursue his dream in the Soviet Union because his own country thought that he was less than human?
And for those people who have seen the show, the character he's playing in the show is a man who has to work for and perform for white people. And
for nothing. And I think the people, when people watch The Showboat, it's a song of a man who's living in post-slavery in the Jim Crow era, where this man is not even allowed to eat in the same restaurant. His kids are not allowed to go to the same schools that other kids are allowed to go to. You know, this is a man who's oppressed by society. It literally says this in the song, and yet it should be a song that ends in a solemn sadness, not in a round of applause and bravos and things like this.
You know, when you're on stage and you look out at audiences, they're still mostly white, and you used to think, as many people do, opera is, you know, mainly for white people, performed by white people. Of course, there are more and more exceptions to that now. But how do you see that changing, if you do?
Well, it's been changing for a while. I think it was a misconception on my part as a young man. I knew nothing about opera. Of course, when I saw my first opera at the Metropolitan Opera, it was Carmen, and there was an African-American woman named Denise Graves playing the lead role, the title role, and it completely changed my conception of what I thought opera was. And then I started doing more research, and I found out that, you know, some of the greatest opera singers America's ever had who have blessed the international stage have been African American. And even we have tons coming from all over, from, you know, from South Africa and France. They're out there and they're making their mark on the operatic world. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, even in my lifetime, if we're talking about, you know, the top 10 greatest singers in the world, and a couple of those people are people with more melanin than others.
So your son, when he goes to his first opera, maybe he has already, won't be going with that same impression that you had when you were a kid.
I don't think so. And you know, I remember when my son was a month old, I was doing a Dvorak Requiem at the Stephans Dome in Vienna, in this big, huge church with thousands of people in attendance. And my son sat in the front row in his baby carriage, in his little, and this was at night as well. And I could see him in the audience with his eyes wide open. And he was, for 2 hours, two and a half, you know, Dvorak Requiem is not a short piece. He did not make a peep. He was listening so intently and he was wide awake. He sat in some rehearsals at the Metropolitan Opera, and I'm excited actually for him to come visit me another summer here at Tanglewood. I think I'm excited for him to see me on a big amphitheater stage.
Ryan Speedo Green, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ryan Speedo Green sings at Tanglewood tomorrow night.